Good morning. Today is Tuesday, December the 5th. Anniversary day, certainly, for a lot of folks with Pearl Harbor. We've had a little bit of a delay with Mr. McCauley to talk about taxes, but have an opportunity before he arrives to... we'll get the quote out of the way first here. I'm laughing because we got a couple of things going on here in the background that probably really aren't germane to anybody. Our quote this morning, talking about children. Oh, this one comes from Jean-Paul Richter. The woman is contemptible, who having children is never heard. Ah, somebody made his way into the room.
I did.
All right. Good morning, sir. This is not McCauley. This is our pinch hitter until Billy gets here. Keith Busman. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Cold?
Yes, it
yourself?
Is. Yeah, you know, I'm feeling pretty good right now. I've got layers on, so I'm doing good.
Keith helps us out with some of the engineering stuff around the facility, but he's also a pilot. And
I am, yeah.
I thought that it would be kind of interesting, not that you're an expert in sleighs, but in aeronautical activities and stuff. What are some of the biggest challenges about being a private pilot?
Well, I think in today's aviation world, it's expensive. I mean, that's probably the biggest challenge right there. It's very expensive to get your license and to fly and to keep current. I'm fortunate to be able to fly every day, most days, I should say. And it's just, it's an amazing experience, especially like when you have weather like today. I mean, you can see, when we were flying up here yesterday, you know, you could look over and see Mount Lass and you could see Mount Shasta. And, you know, it's a good 100 nautical miles away.
It's a totally different experience, I would imagine, in the small plane at low level versus the commercial plane at the higher levels.
Yeah, the higher levels, you know, you're able to... you can basically fly over the weather most of the time, unless you're in some thunderstorm activity. But yesterday, flying up from Santa Rosa, Napa area, it was extremely windy. And they were calling out low-level wind shear, moderate to severe turbulence. And we had moderate turbulence for a good portion of the flight. But we were able to climb up to 8,500 feet, and we were above it all.
So what's the view of the terrain from that level? You know, most of us, I mean, we drive, we know where the turn is, but don't get that kind of high level perspective.
You know, it's amazing how close everything seems. Yesterday, when we were looking down, part of the view, what was a little disturbing, was the fires. We could see the scars in the mountains and the trees that were burnt, and you could just see how that wind would blow the fire over the ridgeline and on the other side. And it actually, up by Ukiah Willits, it blew across the road, and you could just visibly see it from the air. But then you look out to the left and you can see the coastline, and you can see all the way up to
normalcy.
Yes and it was beautiful. It was spectacular yesterday and today.
So in getting a pilot's license,
mm-hmm.
How long does it take? I mean, what is that process? Is it like getting like a nursing degree where you've got 2 or 4 or 6 or 8 years, depending on what level you are, or is it something a little bit more compact than that?
Well, they say on the private level, you know, once you receive your license, it's a license to learn, and you really never stop learning in the airplane. And, you know, some of the basics that I learned almost 30 years ago, applied to the flying yesterday, you know, with the turbulence and low-level wind shear. And so you just have to really be responsive and
pay attention.
Yes.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Keith Busman.
That's right.
Yeah, never be late to a buddy's appointment when there's a microphone involved.
Exactly.
What is the biggest misnomer people have about flying in small airplanes?
You know, I think in small airplanes, you hear about every airplane incident or crash, if you want to call it that. A lot of people are scared. And, you know, I tell people it's the most dangerous part of my flight is driving to the airport. And, people are not paying attention on the roads. And it seems like up in the air, you know, at least for me, I'm relaxed and I'm able to fly the aircraft and look out for other traffic. And also keeping a place where if you do have an issue with the aircraft, that you most of the time you can glide them down and land.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They just become gliders, and you just got to find a nice clear spot to put it down. But
you haven't had to do that one, have you?
No. Well, one time I had an electrical issue, and I had smoke in the cockpit, and I just made a U-turn and shut everything down and landed at the airport I took off from, and everything was fine. Yeah. Except I had to replace a bunch of radios.
You and smoke.
Yeah. It's fixed back there, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. I would think that it's flying a small plane has got to be so liberating and so fun.
Oh, it is. I mean, I'm sitting here looking outside going, maybe I should just go around the patch a couple times, you know, just to go check things out. But it is. It is wonderful to be able to, they call it, go have the $100 hamburger, you know, and where you take off and you exercise the aircraft, and you also want to fly them all the time. You don't want them to let them sit. So it's really good on the aircraft if you do fly once a week or twice a week if you can.
Well, I would imagine your skill set. Also, you want to keep that razor sharp.
Yes,
as well.
Recurrent training. Yes, always. I think that that people that are in the air all the time, you know, even yesterday flying in the turbulent air, you know, being able to show that I still got it, you know, says something. And even when you have that wind shear, you know, you really want to be on the pedals, on the controls, and just you don't want to fight it. You want to let the wind do what it's going to do, but you also don't want to lose control.
What's the trickiest airport in Humboldt County to land at?
Humboldt County. I haven't been to a whole lot of airports here, but probably the shorter fields. Neyland has a short little runway. And
that cliff thing.
Yeah. That's kind of nice when you get to the edge of it, as long as you have airspeed. You immediately have altitude, and altitude's your friend. So I guess taking off, it depends, you know, what the weather's doing. I landed at Crescent City with some extremely high crosswinds one time, and it was hard to align up on the runway and get it set down.
Yeah, I would think some of those gusty, just because the spurts, you know, it's not a consistent thing. It's interrupted. That would be kind of tough.
Right. So you have it all set up, and then all of a sudden the wind shifts, and now you're going the other way. And
you're looking at the cows.
Yes. And that's when you apply power and go around and try again.
I would imagine that there's not too many macho pilots.
There are. Most of them aren't around anymore.
Okay. Flying macho pilots.
Yeah, right. You just have to be careful. You have to be on your toes. You have to really know what's going on, it's very rewarding though once you're up in the air.
How long does it take you to use your feet instead of your hands when you're steering?
You know, to me, it's like riding a bike. It's naturally, you know, you just get in there and you do it. But I really can't remember. Now, when I hop back in my car and all of a sudden I take my hand off the wheel, you know, and usually the airplane just keeps going straight. Now the car's drifting right or left. You know, that's the problem.
Passengers start to get concerned.
Yeah, right.
You can see somebody who's always a pilot doing something like that for the first couple
of
times.
Yes. You know what? I think one of the things, going back to the aviation question, is a lot of communities don't realize the asset that airports provide to their communities. And a lot of times you get a planning commission or opposition to the airport, and they want to build a park or build homes or build a shopping center. They don't really realize what that airport brings to the community, whether it's general aviation or it's medical services. Everybody loves their packages delivered, and a lot of them come in via aircraft. Medical supplies, especially in the fires. They shut down the Petaluma Airport and made it a fire base. And so general aviation was out for that week and a half of time, but, it really provided, a place for primarily the helicopters to go to and reload with their fire retardant systems. And
I know the blood bank flies out a lot of stuff and medical stuff too, the organs and their lifespans and that kind of stuff.
Yes. So I mean, it seems like they're closing more airports than building new ones, and so that is a problem.
I would imagine siting an airport's right up there with siting a dump. It just takes a lot of time.
It does. Yeah. It does. And again, we need to really save our airports.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Keith Bussman. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, by Lolita Cheese Factory, and by Redec. Keith, the concept of being an airplane pilot has always been, my warp sense, so you got a grain of salt on this one, right up there with being an astronaut. So cool, so liberating, so out of my league.
I don't know if it's out of your league. I bet you could do it.
I've seen some of those space capsules. I'm not sure I'd fit.
Yeah, some of the every aircraft's different, but it is a tight fit.
How do you choose what size plane or type of plane, other than budget, of course, that best reflects what your needs are?
There's different aircraft for different missions. I'm flying a Beechcraft Bonanza right now, and I would say that it's more of a faster sports car-ish kind of airplane versus I had a Cessna 210, which is like a truck. And I mean, you could really, really haul a lot of equipment in the 210, and it was a great, great aircraft for doing that. It was easier to get in and out of, too, because with the Bonanza, you got to climb up and over the wing, and you kind of drop into the seat. Versus the 210, you just open the door and slide in, and you're in. So, but there are several different kinds of aircraft that are out there. But even a Cessna 150, a little two-seater, some of these legacy aircraft are not that expensive. I mean, automobiles are a lot more money than some of them. I mean, you can probably get into a Cessna 150 for $15,000 to $20,000 and be up in the air, where other aircraft are several hundred thousand dollars.
Plus.
Yes.
What is the difference with the handling of a plane, one of the planes that have got the wings above the fuselage versus those with the wings that you use as a stepping spot to get in?
Well, going back to that trainer aircraft, the Cessna 150, they always say if you get in trouble, let go. As long as it's trimmed, it'll fly itself, and that is true. They're very stable, And even the Bonanza, I mean, as long as you have it configured correctly, you know, you can pretty much let go. It's kind of like, you know, riding a bicycle. You can let go of the handlebars, and if you're balanced, it's kind of just going to go straight, unless you hit the bump in the road.
Or it gets windy.
Yeah, sorry, it gets windy. Yeah. Right. But they're very stable, unlike helicopters, for instance. With a helicopter, you really, really... You can't let go. You're always flying those helicopters, and they're very unstable, and they will get out of control very fast.
Well, that's a different dimension, isn't it?
Don't
you have up and down and left to right instead of just up and down?
All of it, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Very fun to fly. I am a helicopter pilot as well, and it's fun to jump in the helicopters and... The difference is I guess, you know, going back to the airport thing, is you don't need that long runway to land. You can pretty much land in any clear, open area.
You're going to have to remember that next trip out to the transmitter site.
Yes, yes.
Now, when you see the Coasties and what they're zipping around in with the helicopters, whether it's for their rescue mission or just some of their surveillance, what do you see? I see a big orange, noisy, kind of cool, fun little toy, but I know it's a tool, so I
right.
should say it differently. What do you see as a helicopter pilot?
You know, I guess when I see one of those, I think, you know, search and rescue mission kind of thing. We were talking this morning about transmitter sites and how they're going to get this building up this road to this radio site. And I told our other engineer, Brian, I said, hey, you know, I think a nice sky crane helicopter, and that's one of those helicopters that can just lift a lot of weight. And
now, is that similar to the ones that they use for the logging operations?
Yes.
Kind of have the hole in the middle?
Yes, yes. I think that's the sky crane.
That's probably not the best way to describe anything that goes up in the air that might be pressurized.
Yeah.
It's the one with the hole in it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they can lift a lot. And I was thinking, you know, just to grab that building and load it up and drop it in place, and away you go. You don't have to cut trees down to widen the road and everything else that goes along with putting a portable building at a radio site. So, I mean, it depends what the mission is, but there are, you know, helicopters that, you know, carry two people, a little trainer, and which is fun to fly, but it can only lift the two people that are in the helicopter.
No sandwiches come along on this
no,
one.
No.
How long does it take to develop a skill set where you start to feel comfortable with a helicopter?
Boy, you know, it... Again, it's how much you fly, and
just time in the seat.
Yeah, yeah, and you could probably get your rating, you know, in a helicopter, you know, 50 hours to 70 hours, somewhere around there. Problem with helicopters is there's a lot of moving parts, and they're very expensive to maintain, and so the cost is probably four times of what it would cost to get your private pilot's license and fixed wing airplane.
I would suppose that the entry price is a little bit higher too.
It is. It definitely is. You know, kids these days, though, I have daughters that I tried to interest them in flying, and you know, they grab the controls and, oh, this is fun for about 30 seconds, and then are we there yet? And are we going shopping, or are we going to the beach? You know, they're destination passengers.
Yeah. So the experience really isn't high on the pecking order at this point.
It wasn't. And you know, I think in the next, 10 to 15 years, you know, the airline industry is a little nervous because of, you know, the pilot shortage. And I know the FAA about 10 years ago, I think, they increased the retirement age from 60 to 65, which allowed the airlines a little bit more time. But as time goes by, I just don't think that glamour and glory is there anymore being an airline pilot.
Yeah, it's probably seen as a commodity or as a utility, you know, flying.
Yes.
Only four or five times a year. But every time I get on, it's like, what would have this area, America, look like if Jefferson could have flown, if Franklin could have flown across?
Right.
Yeah, you know, those types of things. You know, we have this huge, huge opportunity that's there. And so few are maximizing that opportunity.
Right. You're right. And it seems like, you know, every year that goes by, there's fewer and fewer pilots. But there are a lot of schools, and there are, you know, some grants that the government is given out to, for pilots.
Well, a lot of opportunity for placement, too, with the regional guys. I know that's a common issue across the country.
Right.
KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:43. We will be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48, a couple minutes left this morning with Keith Busman. Keith, the concept of flight in aeronautics, if it's something that's of interest for people and they want to make it a career, where do they go? I mean, do you need to get a degree? Do you need just to get time? How do you start that process?
You know, nowadays with the internet, you can do a lot of the ground schooling at home. Home study courses. But most airports have I wouldn't say a flight school, but they have a flight instructor out there that, and usually a club at the little airports where you can go and join the club and rent their aircraft and learn to fly. I'm not sure up here, I'm not familiar with all the airports up here, but I'm sure there are generally pilots that would love to teach kids how to fly.
I would think it's one of those activities where there are a lot of people, because of the passion level, mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has had one. Everybody's willing to be one.
Yes. I mean, I've taken kids up that have moved on to become commercial airline pilots. And, you know, they remember that first flight. And it is so exciting. I remember my first flight. And, you know, it was just amazing to be in the air and feel like a bird, basically, and looking out at the terrain and the roads and the lakes and the mountains, and it's just incredible, really incredible.
Do you ever have any interest in a glider or the parasail, where it's a little less hardware around you?
You know, I have thought about it. I think that it actually makes you an excellent pilot, especially if your engine quits. You can glide those things down in there. But it's a different way of flying.
The same theory then applies to parachute jumping.
Yeah, some people like sailboats and some people like motorboats, and I kind of like having that power. It's really nice to have.
Sounds like you've been asked that question before. That's a good analogy.
Not saying I wouldn't go up and do it, though. It would be fun.
There's still the thrill.
Yeah, yeah. And I might jump out of an airplane with a parachute one time.
That's on my list, too. There's some guys in Medford that do it just one time.
Yeah, one time. Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
See everybody tomorrow.